Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Average Joe Radio. This is Average Joe. Man, it's January 5th, Sunday evening. Here we are 5 days into 2020 already. Average Joe, and this is 2020. Okay, hey, at least I get to say that one time. Well, I guess I could say it every day until 2021, and then you'll think I'm counting. But who's counting? Maybe I would be. Today we're going to talk about plastic. If you saw my promotion video on Average Joe Facebook page, you know that. And then, of course, the description of the show is called Plastic. Paper or plastic? That's just there's a reason for that. Well, there's a lot of hidden agendas to that, so far as that particular famous phrase, not famous, but well-known phrase. The world relies on plastic a lot, and, unfortunately, it's one of the hardest materials to get rid of, but we're going to get into that. First, we're going to do this day in history, and there's several goodies. I'm not going to get into a lot of detail because I want to mention several of them. The first one is, in 1933 on this day, the Golden Gate Bridge began construction, or the construction on the Golden Gate Bridge began. Let me see. I said there was a lot. Okay, here we go. 1945 on this day, kamikaze pilots get their first order. Just one note about that. The Japanese were getting desperate at that point, and most of their good pilots were already dead. And so their young pilots could easily be trained to load up a bunch of explosives on their plane and crash into a target. So anyway, I went into a little detail on that. World War II is always a favorite topic. As horrible as that is. Let's see. 1920, New York Yankees announced the purchase of Babe Ruth. So they were buying candy bars way back then. Oh, no, that's Baby Ruth, sorry. 1949, President Truman delivers his Fair Deal speech. And then here's 1972, President Nixon launches the Space Shuttle Program. One more time, launches the Space Shuttle Program. And then 1998, Sonny Bono was killed in a skiing accident. Okay, that's enough of that. So there's a lot of things that happened this day in history. If you want to call in, the number is 914-219-0884. Let's see, I think Ed McMahon's on the line here. Mr. Scott.
We love plastics.
We do.
Plastics are great. Gary and I do.
Oh, okay. We as in a, just you guys love plastics.
Yeah, I can't speak for anybody else.
I think you would be, because most people... We're pretty addicted to plastic. Everything you look at almost everything you touch these days is made of plastic. Thanks for joining us here, Mr. Scott.
Oh, good to hear you.
Likewise, man. Hadn't talked to you all week.
I don't have a lot of deep thoughts on plastic, but they're definitely everywhere all the time, and we need them.
Well, I've got some. I got some cheat notes here. I bet you I might be able to extract some plastic, you know, thoughts from you.
Extrude away.
I'll extrude some thoughts. There you go. There you go. I knew you could come up with a clever pun.
Well, that was it. I'm done.
All right, Leo Hendrick Bakeland. The first plastic based on a synthetic polymer was made from phenol and formaldehyde, with the first viable and cheap synthesis methods invented in 1907. He was a Belgian-born American living in New York State.
That's not Bakelite.
Pardon me?
Did that become Bakelite? Is that a whole different situation?
Mm. I don't know. I do not know. Man, looks
it's
like my web page.
I don't have a clue.
Let's see. The first man-made plastic. Now I'm just going to give, you know, throw out a few facts. Again, 914-219-0884 if you want to dominate the quote-unquote airways over Mr. Scott and I. Feel free to call in. We're pretty mouthy, so we're liable to, you know, do it on our own.
Just get excited talking about plastic, that's all.
I do, man. It is a very interesting, and the reason, I'll tell you, let me just say this first before I get into the nuts and bolts of it. I was thinking about it because, you know, again, you know, everything you touch, or not everything, but a lot of things you touch on a daily basis are made of plastic. I mean, your phone's got plastic in it, your computer, your TV, your car, your utensils you use in the kitchen, your toilet seat, the bottles that hold your shampoo and your soap. You probably won't be up more than 10 seconds out of the bed in the morning before you touch something that's plastic. A lot of, even your floor in a lot of cases is made in plastic. The parts of your house are sometimes made out of plastic. But what got me to thinking about it is because it is a very relied upon material that's made, predominantly from oil. And so if and when that day comes that we don't have any oil anymore, we're going to have another raw material. And then, of course, the controversy is, what do you do with plastic, and how do you, you know, when you're done with it, is it more, is it better on the environment to just chunk it into the landfill, or is it better to grind it up and make more plastic, or is it better to not use so much plastic? I think the amount of plastic that we use, I mean, not using a straw or a plastic bag at the grocery store, I don't think it's going to make a big impact. But, so that's kind of what, you know, there's a little bit of a controversy there as to, you know, some people, and I don't want to say this too loud. Well, I probably need to say it loud enough to at least get to the microphone. You know, just pollution in general. There's the controversy is whether, you know, I'm stumbling all over myself here. When it comes to climate change, is that the controversy is it man-made or is it natural? Whichever side of the wall or fence you're on that subject, it's pretty easy to see that, you know, a lot of plastic waste is just, you know, so there's a bunch floating around in the ocean, and there's a lot of it that gets gets eventually.
It'll definitely be here forever, what they tell me. You know,
well,
for all purposes.
I think I've seen typical shelf life anywhere from 450 years to 1,000 years. So, you know. But is that a good thing or not such a good thing? I mean,
who knows?
I don't know.
Works.
So the first
works for us.
Oh no! What were you going to say?
That's all. Just that it works for us for now. And I am speaking for the collective of us, maybe, as an American.
Well, I
do know that. My life is easier and simpler for plastic.
Yeah. I heard an article on, I think I was listening to the radio, and they were talking about hemp being used in many cases in place of plastic, which is a great thing. I mean, hemp is an organic material, and I'm imagining it's not as plentiful as oil, but it is pretty plentiful, and it's relatively cheap to grow. But I don't know, what the pluses and minuses for overall for that comparison to be, even if there is a legitimate comparison. Squeaky door, put some oil on that hen.
Brand new effect. How you like it?
The first man-made plastic was created by Alexander Parks, who publicly demonstrated it at the 1862 Great International Exhibition in London. The material was called parkocene, was an organic material derived from cellulose that once heated could be molded and retained its shape when cooled.
Oh.
So cellulose is actually plant-derived. So not all plastics come from oil, and I think there's plastics that exist today that are made from plants.
Cool.
So 914-219-0884, riveting conversation here on Average Joe Radio. I challenge you to interrupt Mr. Scott and myself in this conversation.
Please do. Please do.
Before the invention of plastic, the only substances that could be molded were clays, like pottery, and glass. Hard clay and glass were used for storage, and they were heavy and brittle, but some natural substances like tree gums and rubber were sticky and moldable. That brings me, and I'm going to take a sidebar here about glass. When you talk about recycling glass, people worry about recycling glass and how long it takes to break down. Mr. Scott, I know you know. What is glass made of?
I think it's a sandy type thing.
Yeah, exactly. It's made of sand. So, if you break glass up and grind it up, what do you essentially have, sort of? Sand.
a little bit of sand.
Yeah, a little bit of sand. Well, and because I used to actually work in a glass manufacturing plant, and I saw the materials that went into it, and there was some additives and everything, but predominantly sand. And if we had a bad bottle that came out and it had a little bad spot on it, it would get shot off into the conveyor belt at the bottom, and it was called cullet, which was basically just, the trash glass. And all that would go back, all broken up into little pieces, and it would go back into the furnace and get melted down again and make more glass. So, that's got to be one of the easiest materials to recycle, even if you didn't want to throw it away. But if you did throw it away and it stayed in the ground for 400 years, so what? What's it going to hurt? It's glass. It's sand. Am I right or am I right?
Kind of makes sense. I don't know. I had forgotten when you talk about permanently moldable materials or however you said it a minute ago. Glass kind of predates all of that.
Yeah. I mean, we had glass a long time before we had, well, other than clay. I guess clay was probably the first thing that we had that was moldable. I mean, you can go out in your backyard, essentially, assuming you don't live at the beach, and find some clay and make something out of it and fire it up, and you got yourself a vessel. So, anyway. All right. So, why is plastic harmful? Now, I'm not here to be on the soapbox about pros or cons of plastic. And I'm not getting into the debate over earth pollution. Believe me, this earth will be here a long time after every one of us and all our cheerings are gone. It will spit us out like a watermelon seed and just keep right on rolling. Plastic's harmful because it's non-biodegradable. Bio-be-debatable. It's bio-debatable.
That's easy for you to say.
When it's thrown on land, it makes the soil less fertile, and when it's thrown in water, it chokes out our ponds, rivers, and oceans and harms the sea life. If animals eat plastic, it gets stuck in their tummy and makes them sick. I mean, there's no debate there. You know, it's not good for the critters. And one thing that Average Don had mentioned in an earlier conversation, I thought he might call in. You know, he's a call teaser. He'll say okay, but he never. Well, he sometimes does. I guess I have to call him names and point at him and laugh at him more often. But there's a thing called microplastic.
Shock to me if you didn't.
Pardon me?
I'm sorry. What type of shock job would you be if you didn't do that?
Exactly. I know. There's probably women out there fainting right now because of what I say on this show.
It's
I'm an equal opportunity offender, so there's probably men out there fainting as well.
It's pretty radical tonight, no doubt. Have I become muted?
All right. Let's see. Okay, Mr. Scotty, you're still there.
I'm back.
Yeah, we had technical difficulties. I think I had a landline interruption here in the studio. Microplastics. That's what we were talking about, or what I was getting ready to talk about. Apparently, that's what. When plastic starts to break down and it's in the ocean and it's basically in all the ocean and even in our water supply, but so far as they know, it doesn't actually harm you to drink it to ingest it. You ever heard of that?
No,
Mr. Scott.
No, not the harmless part to ingest. Microplastics harmless to ingest.
Well, that's from what I understand. I have not done any scientific experiments.
Okay, I just
want to
make sure I heard
that
right. I have no opinion either. I'm kind of leery of that, but I don't really. Other than that, I guess I don't have an opinion.
Well, you probably, if you've drank water out of a public water system, you've probably ingested it. I know you guys are on a well, but it may be in well water too. I don't know. You know, we've infiltrated this planet pretty well. With all kind of stuff. So 914-219-0884 if you want to call in. How long does plastic take to decompose? So like I said, the numbers I'm seeing is take up to 1,000 years to decompose in landfills. But plastic bags we use in everyday life take about 10 to 20 years to decompose, while plastic bottles take 450 years. What do you think?
Oh, it just reminded me of something I know. I participated in for about 20 years. Freezing of water bottles at night to work, you know, drink at work during the daytime.
Yeah.
Year round, but especially in the summertime, I take 2 or 3, 20 ounces,
mm-hmm.
freeze them, you know, 1 or 2 all the way, one about a half full, put a little water in the morning.
Yeah.
Have cold water all day till I got home.
Right.
So someone pointed out the dynamics, apparently, of the biodegradableness of the plastic bottle. And apparently what sets off the chain reaction for it to degrade is laying in a ditch, being exposed to bright sunlight or varying temperatures. And I was told that by freezing it and using it daily, and I used the same 3 bottles for like 6 months. I wanted to be thrifty.
Lord.
Yeah, I want to be thrifty about it.
Yeah, you're probably going to die.
Oh, man, I can't imagine. But the freezing temperature change and or ultraviolet light is supposed to help break it down. But yeah, I'd say that.
Yeah,
be,
you're doomed, man.
Yeah, that would be, you're right, exactly when all the vapors were coming off of it.
Yeah.
When it was getting real nice.
I predict that you're going to die in the next 40 years.
I'm voting for you. I like the way you think.
I think it's going to happen. So actually, I've got a little note here about, is drinking from plastic bottles bad? Well, if you want to be bad, so what? You know, if you're bad to the bone. You can safely drink out of plastic water bottles, but there are a couple of additional things you should know. Although plastic water bottles do not contain BPA, they may contain potentially harmful bacteria after they are used. What do you think about that?
Above and beyond the black rings that form in the cup.
Yeah.
Well, now
yeah.
That's generally when I throw them out. So here at this particular microclimate, it takes about 6 months for that to happen. But
when you start getting some
earlier.
Mold or something.
It's thriving. I mean, it tastes great to me. Looks the same. What's not to love? But yeah, when it gets plainly discolored, it's kind of time to rotate them out.
There have been claims that chemicals in plastic can leach into food or drink and cause cancer. In particular, there have been rumors about chemicals called bisphenol A with BPA and dioxins. Hoax emails have spread warnings about dioxins being released when plastic containers are reused, heated, or frozen.
Oh, it's fake news? I'm sorry.
At,
I wonder what that means.
According to
what
this particular... Yeah. I mean, it's hard to know anymore. I mean...
It's weird to have that qualification. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I mean, just depends on who you ask about any of this stuff. Tupperware products. They are... Majority of them are considered safe. For example... Some of its food storage containers use polycarbonate, which has been shown to leach the harmful hormone-disrupting chemical BPA into food items after repeated uses. So, you know, I've always, well, not always, but, you know, we're pretty microwave, you know, about everybody uses a microwave on a daily basis. And
Amen.
I do take, you know, if I have something in a plastic container or even like a, especially like leftovers in a styrofoam container, I always put it in my plate, you know, put it in a plate or something that's microwave safe and heat it up instead of heating it up in the plastic container. Is that something you do or?
No. There again, I have total disregard for the plastic, heated up in said plastic.
Oh, you do?
Oh, yeah.
You're a rebel, man. You're out of control.
We're on the edge, man.
Again, I predict you will die in the next 40 years.
And again, I like the way you think.
That's
not cool. But we do it
what?
Casually. Heating up stuff in microwave plastic.
I don't know if there's any reliability to that. But, you know, the thing is, like in the styrofoam, you know, a lot of times if the food gets so hot, it actually melts the styrofoam. And
oh, yeah.
So I'm thinking, well, if your food is getting styrofoam melted on it, it's probably not good.
It's a little styrofoamy.
But with that said, you got to dial something. What happened? He ate plastic. Cause of death, plastic. Plastic. It's such a, you know, we use it for a lot of different meanings other than the actual substance itself. You know, we use plastic to pay for things. You're, you know, referencing credit cards because credit cards are usually made of plastic. We refer to something that's not real or fake or transparent as plastic, you know, like a plastic personality or, you know, fake something. You know, I always thought when we were, you know, we're both children of the 60s, and, you know, cars used to be made out of steel and well, mostly that. You know, they had some vinyl and which is plastic, and, you know, in a more expensive car, leather and, you know, whatever the carpet's made out of, but mostly steel. And we were thinking, you know, man, if they were talking about making cars out of plastic, we were going like, man, that's crazy, you know. But now, I mean, you know, just because of them being unsafe, but, you know, cars are way safer now than they used to be, and a lot more efficient, and they last a lot longer. So even though they're not the beautiful works of art that they used to be, they're actually better and more efficient machines. Well, you know what I'm talking about. I mean, we, you know.
Well, that's where the new car smell comes from. I'm
from
sure leather. I'm sure leather is better, but I don't know if anybody that's ever had a new car that was leather smelling. Yeah, that's
new
bound to be. I don't know. That's a technical point. I do not know that, but it's a good new car smell, bound to be plastic and derived. I don't know.
Well, have you ever seen the, you know, when you go into the convenience store and you see the little hangy things you put on your mirror to give your car, you know, and that actually
right.
One of them is like new car smell?
Oh, okay, cool.
That seems to be a little bit vague to me. I mean, as far as, you know, does one new car smell about the same as another? I think not.
Well, tell you the truth, brother, I've never had one, but and none of my people have had one in a while, but the people I used to remember had one. To me, they all smelled the same, just, you know, new and shiny. And it can't have come from the steel, I wouldn't think.
No. Well, I've had a few new cars, and the last one I had was the 2012 Honda Fit, and it had a distinct smell to it, being new, but it didn't smell like any other new car I'd ever had.
Huh.
But that was the first Japanese new car I'd ever had.
That's cool. Could just be an acute sense of smell, but that's interesting. Does it still smell new to you, to your remembrance of the new car?
It still what?
Still smells new to you, but different.
Yeah, I think they do that so when you're in the parking lot, you can find your car, you can smell it out.
Well, I'd be lost from now.
Oh, yeah, that's right, because you can't smell.
I'd never find mine.
Oh, man, we're going to have to do something about that. I know what they're going to have to do. They're going to have to put, like, a panic button on the key fob so you can push it, and your horn on your car will start honking. I think that's a great idea. What do you think?
You're just talking crazy now.
I think it would work. People, you need to find your car. You just hit the button. Car starts, lights start blinking. Horn starts honking. Man, we've already burned up about 30 minutes, believe it or not, in this riveting conversation.
We have resolved a lot of issues on plastic.
Yes, we have. And so those of you that follow Average Joe and Mr. Scott, not necessarily in that order, you can thank us later. We do take plastic. Man. Well, at least I thought that was funny.
You kill us.
I didn't really get into, I guess I wanted to be a little bit more into, oh, one thing I didn't mention about plastic. I'm going to stop trying to say what I'm trying to get into, and I'm just going to get into it. When it comes to recycling anything, I would say, I mean, I'm for it because, you know, we don't want to just be wasting stuff. I don't believe in waste. And if you can reuse something, especially aluminum cans are really easy to recycle. You know, you can melt down a can and just about, you know, use that same material and make you another can. And, you know, again, the same goes with glass as we were talking about earlier. But one thing you have to consider with recycling is that you have to consider the amount of energy that it takes to recycle. Usually there's heat involved. There's usually some kind of machinery involved. There's the cost of transporting these materials from point A to point B. There's the labor involved. There's the cost. So you have to wonder, is it really worth it in the end? So far as, you know, if we're still we're still using fuel and energy and affecting the carbon footprint when we recycle. So you have to decide, does it balance out? I don't.
Sounds right.
I'm not an expert. Hard to tell on this. Yeah, I mean, but it's still to be considered. I mean, it's just because you're recycling it doesn't mean you're just extracting it or extruding it. That would actually be squeezing it through a hole. But extracting it from the carbon footprint just because you recycle it, there's still going to be...
I see what you're saying. That's a total buzzword, whether or not you're actually accomplishing anything on said recycling. Infrastructure takes much to so-called recycle it.
I mean, I admit I'm not a big tree hugger. I do love this earth and the beauty of it, and I certainly don't want to abuse it. But so far as our man-made, you know, climate change, as the word is now instead of global warming, I'm not so sure about that. I'm just, you know, being devil's advocate here, though. Is it worth it? Just make sure next time you order.
I see what you're saying, brother. But there, if there were a unified field, so to speak, theory of materials management and perishable supplies like water and oxygen, things like that, that would be seemingly impossible to coordinate, but at least people have started to try and get a global consciousness on everything. That's a good point about this so-called recycling. I think it's a buzzword from what a little bit I've seen.
It makes people feel good.
Yeah, I think that's got a lot to do with it, and you're right.
Kind of like driving a Prius.
Well, the tractor trailers that leave this county go two counties away to dump all their stuff.
Yeah.
That's actually just the baled waste. I don't know where the recyclables go. There's no industry here, so it wouldn't go here. Those two get dieseled out to somewhere else.
It's got to go somewhere, and it's going to take fuel to get it there.
Right.
And it's going to take fuel to process it. And then, you know.
And we help.
So it's just a matter of if it balances out or not. I don't know. I'm not an expert, but just throwing it out there. Well, Mr. Scott, I think we're done. Unless you got something riveting you want to add to the conversation before we go.
I think I'm through riveting.
Riveting. Scotty the Riveter. Man, I appreciate you. I appreciate your 2 cents worth and just...
We enjoy it, always.
Bouncing off me and giving me somebody to bounce off of, because my listeners, all 783 of them, are sometimes shy and don't want to call in unless they want to change the subject and talk about Don Imus. But
that was cool. I'm sorry, that was cool.
It was funny. We've taken measures to prevent that from happening again.
Okay.
So we won't have any issues with that anymore. But it was still. I felt I'm kind of honored to have been hacked. you know, at least somebody paid attention. It's like, hey, let's mess with that guy.
They were totally cool about it, I felt.
Anyway, we're going to be out of here, Mr. Scott. We'll see you next week.
We're glad to hear you. Press on.
You too, man. Have a good week.
Oh, you too.